First, we're just days away from full-on holiday season. That means turkey, pie, green beans, and more. We don't want to rain on anybody's holiday festivities, but while you're digging into your dinners, you could be at some risk for food poisoning. But don't worry, our next guest has some food safety advice to help us avoid getting sick this holiday season. Shelley Feist is with us. She's the Executive Director for the Partnership for Food Safety Education. Shelley, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. I'm happy to be with your listeners today.
Now, it's not always the most fun thing to think about around the holidays, but are the holidays a time where we need to be a little extra vigilant when it comes to food safety?
Well, they are for a couple of reasons. One is, in some cases, a lot of folks entertain and prepare large and complex meals who aren't normally cooking like that. There's more cooks in the household, and we also enter, you know, cold and flu season. So there are a number of reasons why the holidays can be a time of a spike in foodborne illness.
We'll get into some food safety basics, but I want to jump right into the turkey, Shelley. There are a lot of things that can go wrong when people who are used to, like me, I cook with, you know, chicken breast or turkey breast or, you know, smaller pieces. Things are different when we're doing that whole bird, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. I think in part because, again, it's not something most people are preparing. So, you know, using a food thermometer is really important for the turkey for a couple of reasons. One is you don't want to overcook it. And two, you want to make sure it's cooked to a safe temperature. And because it's, you could be cooking anything from a 12, 16, 20-pound turkey, a food thermometer and watching your temperature, get it to 165, ensures safety and quality, and you won't overcook it.
And let's talk about the where. When I have a larger piece of meat, I will often use my thermometer, which I just recently converted to, and I love it. But I'll try over here and over here. Do we need to do different locations in the turkey to make sure it's all consistently cooked?
Yes, very good point, Rob. You should use the thermometer in the thickest part of the thigh and the breast. And I would do also the wing. If you have stuffed the turkey, it's super important to try to get a read from what's going on with the stuffing in the turkey, because it may well take longer to reach the 165 if the turkey's stuffed. We actually would recommend not stuffing the turkey so you don't overcook the meat and you make sure your stuffing reaches the 165 also.
Let's go a little earlier in the turkey cycle here. A lot of people might be dealing with frozen turkeys. Talk about thawing safely.
Right. That's a really important thing to plan. So if you haven't yet considered this, this may be about your last day to do so. The best way and safest way is to thaw your turkey in the refrigerator. And you need to allow about a full day or 24 hours for every 4 to 5 pounds of meat. So for a 15-pound turkey, you need to plan 3 days of thawing in the refrigerator at refrigerator temperature of 40 or below. There are other ways to defrost your turkey. You can use a cold water method where you run it in a big bowl of cold water and you have to keep changing out the water every 30 minutes. That's to make sure that the turkey doesn't sit in hot temperatures. And that will be a faster way to thaw it, but it's a little bit more effort intensive to do so.
And then all along, you're trying to watch out for cross-contamination from that turkey. So whether we're handling the turkey itself or dealing, I imagine, with that water, we've been thawing the turkey, and we've got to be careful with that, right?
Yeah, and when you're thawing your turkey in the fridge, you want to do that in a shallow pan, a pan with slight sides on it, so that if there are any juices from the thawing of the turkey, they don't run into other foods in your refrigerator. And do that, put your turkey as low as you can in the refrigerator.
And how about a true or false with turkey and other poultry? True or false, I should rinse the poultry off before I start dealing with it?
False. It's not a safety step. Rinsing poultry does not reduce your risk of foodborne illness. The only thing is cooking it is the only way to ensure that you've killed any pathogens. It is something people like to do, and I think it's a practice that gets handed down through the generations, but it is not a safety step.
Talking to Shelley Feist about Thanksgiving and holiday food safety. She's executive director for the Partnership for Food Safety Education. All right, Shelley, I started us off with the turkey, and I think, speaking for myself, if I've got meat out there, that's the thing I'm worried about with food safety. But you've said in other places, those vegetables, you've got to be careful with how you handle them too. Talk about food safety and the non-turkey now.
Right. Thank you. Well, first of all, it's important to understand that pathogens, you can't see, smell, or taste the pathogens that cause foodborne illness. And there's also perception that, you know, meat and poultry are problematic from the standpoint of these bacteria, but they can occur in produce also, fruits and vegetables. So the important thing to know there is that fresh fruits and vegetables should be rinsed and blood dry with a paper towel or a clean cloth towel just before you eat them or prepare them. That's an important safety step. And then a critical step for food safety for your holiday or any time is to wash your hands always before and after you handle food.
I've got an etiquette question for you, Shelley. I don't know if you want to go here, but you mentioned Thanksgiving is a time where you maybe have multiple cooks. How can you make sure everybody's on the same page with the hand washing, the produce rinsing, and the safe handling of meat?
Well, one good way would be to go over very briefly with them on the fundamentals of Fight Back and our campaign, Story of Your Dinner, which is clean, separate, cook, chill. There's four basic words that you can keep top of mind that help you control pathogens and the risk in your home kitchen. I think it's a great idea to print out one of our flyers from storyofyourdinner.org and have it in the kitchen, and make sure you have plenty of clean towels on hand and hand soap. And I would talk to folks about hand washing if they're helping in the kitchen, because I was looking at your title for today about families avoiding food poisoning. Children, especially children under 5, are at significantly greater risk for food poisoning, and they represent half of all hospitalizations for foodborne infection. So it's just a great thing to talk to your fellow cooks about, because most of us are having feasts with children or elderly or immune-compromised people at our meal. That's why it's particularly important.
You mentioned that four-step process: clean, separate, cook, chill. Let's get into separate now. We're going to be, if you haven't shopped already, people will be soon, and we'll have that fridge loaded with food. How can we appropriately separate so we don't cross-contaminate before we even get started on cooking?
Yeah, there's some important things you can do. When you're buying perishables, you know, meat and poultry in particular, use the bags that are at the meat counter and keep those items in those bags when you put them in the refrigerator. And again, use a shallow pan when you're thawing meat and poultry, or even storing it if you're going to cook it within a couple days. Keep raw meat, poultry, eggs away from foods that you're going to eat raw or that are ready to eat already. So, for example, your salad ingredients, use two cutting boards, one for your salad ingredients, one for your meat and poultry prep. Don't use the same utensils. Just keep those things separate that you're going to eat raw or that are ready to eat from those that need to be cooked as a safety step.
One thing looking at your website that I caught myself a little guilty of, when it comes to meat, I treat it almost like a biohazard. I feel pretty good about that. You talk about the produce drawer, and people think, oh, it's just fruit and vegetables, I don't have to worry about it. And that's kind of how I think we need to keep that way cleaner than we think, don't we?
Yeah. And talking about the pathogens being invisible and tasteless and odorless, that's why it's important to always practice clean, separate, cook, chill in handling all foods, and in assuming that your hands are conduits for germs to move from one food item to another. Your refrigerator, keep that clean, and then use separate, utensils, cutting boards. Rinse your fruits and vegetables, blot them dry before you cut them or prepare them or eat them raw. But food is wonderful, and these things occur in nature, these germs. They can cause illness, but the consumer has a lot of things they can do within their control So as long as they remember, clean, separate, cook, chill, and using soap and water for washing your hands. Those are important basics that you can get the whole family involved in.
And Shelly, I want to get to the best part of Thanksgiving dinner, the leftovers. Talk to us about the best way to handle our leftovers and maybe when to draw the line on those older leftovers.
Yes, that's a really important thing to keep think about at Thanksgiving because we all prepare so much food. My advice would be on the day of your meal, if you really have a lot of leftovers, I would use some shallow plastic containers or freezer bags and immediately put some of that stuff in the freezer because you're probably not going to eat it all within 2 to 3 days, which is, you know, really you should eat your leftovers within 3, maybe 4 days, depending on what the item is. And of course, you should make sure you're not leaving your leftovers out for more than 2 hours after the meal. So think about freezing and reuse within 3 to 4 days. Use shallow containers instead of, you know, really large casserole dishes and such. Divide your leftovers into shallow containers with lids and get them into a fridge that's at 40 degrees or below.
I will admit to pushing the envelope with my leftovers sometimes, Shelly, longer than 4 days. I often go with a smell test, and you say that's not good enough.
No, the smell, you cannot smell if these bacteria are present. You also can't, you know, cook your turkey by sight and poke it and tell if it's reached the temperature. So humans can't really tell temperature without an instrument. I think that leftovers, the reason not to push the envelope again is the risk, particularly for certain groups who are at higher risk, something that, you know, a healthy, you know, 35-year-old man might eat, might really be a problem for, you know, a 4-year-old child with a less developed immune system. So, and having done all that work to prepare this delicious meal, you might just enjoy taking those leftovers out of the freezer in another 3 weeks and eat them then.
We'll leave it there for now. Shelly, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I encourage your listeners to see storyofyourdinner.org for more information on holiday food safety and also some great tasty-like videos and recipes that include food safety instructions.
That's Shelly Feist, Executive Director for the Partnership for Food Safety Education. She joined us today to talk about food safety around the holiday season, including this Thanksgiving Day coming up. And for lots of great resources to get you through the season, go to wiscontext.org and you can search for Help for the Holidays.